Grab your Bible. It's time for Reading the Word with Justin Reed, the minister at the Arlington Church of Christ on Faulkner Springs Road. Now, here's Justin.
If you will, go to 1 Peter chapter 3. I want us to talk about, in the time allotted before us, something that is usually no one's favorite thing to talk about, yet the Bible identifies it numerous times over, and that is the idea of suffering. Nobody has ever just sat down, I don't think, and said, boy, I really hope they're going to preach on suffering. I really hope they're going to talk about suffering. Let's see how we can suffer through this sermon. They don't do that. But yet the Bible talks about how we as Christians will suffer certain things. And so when these are coming down the pike as a Christian, we should not let that deter us. We should not be ashamed or amazed or in shock if we suffer persecution. So I want to look at suffering, four simple things about it, not long, not laborious, but I want us to see what does the Bible say about suffering. And we're here in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 17, and first and foremost, the Bible identifies there are different kinds of suffering. There are different kinds. Notice what Peter says, "For it is better, if the will of God be so, that you suffer for well-doing than for evil doings." That tells me right there are two different ways I could suffer. I could either suffer because I've done something that God has told me to do, or I could suffer the consequences of doing what God has, or doing not what God has told me to do, or doing what God hasn't told me to do. I could suffer for good or I could suffer for evil. In fact, 1 Peter is just riddled, especially chapters 3 and 4, with different types of suffering. If you suffer, verse 14, for righteousness' sake, happy are you. Chapter 4 and verse 14, he says, if you are reproached for the name of Christ, happy are you. Verse 16, if any man suffers a Christian, let him glorify God on this behalf. So we can suffer for good things. Sometimes the suffering for good things you and I face is that we have people in the world who may call us crazy because we want to do what the Bible tells us we know is right. And they don't want to do that, so they think we're crazy. Why would you listen to some book? But we know it's God's holy, inspired, living word. So number one, with suffering, there are different kinds. Let's go to the Old Testament. In fact, the rest of our references are in the Old Testament. I want you to go to the book of Job, right before Psalms, right before the middle of the book. We find Job, and I think it's only fitting when we think about suffering is that we wind up in the book of Job, of course. Job was a just man, an honest man, upright before the Lord. He was, we would say, going above and beyond the call of duty. He was offering daily sacrifices. And he was even trying to make sure his kids, those that came from him, were in a good standing with the Lord. He was trying to get God's good favor on all those in his life. And Satan doesn't like this. I want you to notice chapter 2, verse 1. Again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. And Satan came among them to present himself before the Lord. The Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? And he said, from going to and fro in the earth, walking up and down it. And the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, perfect, upright, one that feareth God? He escheweth evil, and he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause. He is a good man, and he has literally everything except for his life taken away from him. But his purpose was to show that he was faithful to God. And Job, if we don't have time to go through all 42 chapters, although it's a worthy study, at the end of it, Job is a stronger man than when you meet him in chapter 1. And you might say he can't get any stronger. Oh, but he does. He has a better understanding of God. See, he suffered for a purpose. He was tested. He was tried through his suffering. Sometimes we go through a period in our life, we may be suffering different things, and it may be a test or a trial for us to come out triumphant on the other end. I think about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the three Hebrew friends of Daniel. They suffered persecution. They suffered for doing right, and they came out better out of the fiery furnace than when they went in. I think about Daniel himself. He suffered. He suffered because he didn't bow down, and then he wouldn't pray to their God. He wouldn't pray when they were told not to pray. He still prayed to his God and not to the king. And yet he still suffered for that. But he comes out better on the end as well. Sometimes, number two, we suffer as having a purpose. Stay in Job, though. There is a response to suffering, or I should say a proper response. There's really two responses, but I want to key in on the biblical response. Look here in verse 21. And in chapter 1 is when Job loses or starts to lose everything. He loses his kids and his possessions. You just name it, everything is taken from him just about. He arose after hearing the news, verse 20, rent his mantle, shaved his head, fell down on the ground and worshipped and said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. His response is, yeah, I'm going through some suffering. But when I showed up in this world, I didn't bring anything with me. And Job says, when I leave, I'm not going to take any of it. It's just possessions. Now, I know he lost family members as well. But he gets new family members at the end of the book. See, he realized that what he was going through, God was going to take him through it because Job was faithful to the Lord. Because I love verse 22, how that chapter ends. In all this, Job sinned not, nor did he charge or attribute God foolishly. Job had it figured out. He will get where he questions God. God puts him in his place and he realizes what he needs to do. There is a proper response. Well, such is life. Well, I'm going through this right now, but with the help of the good Lord, I'll get through it. There was a sign that hangs up in the backstage at the Grand Ole Opry House on Roy Acuff's door, dressing room number one, right off the stage. And the sign says, there ain't nothing going to happen today that me and the good Lord can't handle. And I like that. Because he wasn't right in his beliefs, of course. But that statement's true. Nothing today that me and the good Lord can't handle. Realizing he's always in control. Let's go to the book of Jeremiah, close this out. What is just one example of suffering? Jeremiah 37 and verse 15, the weeping prophet. Isaiah, then you hit Jeremiah. Jeremiah 37 and verse 15, and you want to talk about, I know we think about Job and suffering. Jeremiah suffered a lot as well. And Job suffered faced one kind of suffering, and it's almost as if Jeremiah faced a completely different kind. But notice here in verse 15 of chapter 37, and this is just one small segment of the idea of this chapter. Wherefore the princes were wroth with Jeremiah, and they smote him, and they put him in prison in the house of Jonathan the scribe. They had made that the prison. One of the kinds of suffering Jeremiah faced was he was beaten and he was thrown in prison. That's pretty bad suffering. Elsewhere in the book of Jeremiah, it really says he was thrown in the mire. You might want to think of he was thrown in the bottom of the dunghill. What a wonderful thought in your mind and in mine as well. That's where they put him. He had to suffer these things because he was doing what God wanted him to do. And Jeremiah works out all right in the end as well. Why do we talk about suffering? Well, there's a purpose. There are examples. There's a correct response. And there's a good kind of suffering and a bad kind of suffering. But I don't bring this lesson to you to change your demeanor and make you upset, make you disappointed, make you sad, make you leave with your tail tucked between your legs. I bring it to you to encourage you from the Bible that if you're going through something, it'll be okay. You're not the only one that's ever faced a problem. We're not the only people that have ever faced temptation. It is common to man. But God is faithful. And if you're going through something, hold on fast to that anchor for the soul, as the Hebrew writer says, steadfast and sure. Jesus Christ is your constant in this changing world, the same yesterday, today, and forever, Hebrews 13 and 8. And be thankful that God, through His infinite wisdom, saw fit to give us these examples that we can learn from other people's suffering as well. Maybe you're suffering with a sin problem tonight. After you become a Christian, hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, being baptized, you go down that watery grave, you came out a new creature alive in Christ, and now you have a sin problem and it is just riddling your whole life. Well, why not be cured of that? Repent of those sins and be restored. Maybe you just need prayers for encouragement, prayers for strength. You want to sit down and have a Bible study? That's what we're here for. We'd like to help you. If we could help in any way, we just humbly ask you, let it be known while we stand and while we sing.
Reading the Word is hosted by Justin Reed, the minister at the Arlington Church of Christ in McMinnville. The building is located at 2500 Faulkner Springs Road, just 1.2 miles off 70 on the right. Join us for Sunday worship at 9 a.m., Sunday school at 10 a.m., and worship at 11 a.m. with midweek Bible study Wednesday at 7 p.m.
Thank you, Brother Dearman. So glad to have you along with us here on Reading the Word. We have some time left in our program, so I thought we would just do the namesake of our show and read God's Word. Now, you can catch this program again anytime online, readingtheword.net, R-E-A-D-I-N-G. Readingtheword.net, click on where it says radio program. From there, you'll find them all. And we would be glad to get that for you. More info. This is program 183. I want to read the Word. I'm going to be in the 20th chapter of the book of Exodus. This is the giving of the Ten Commandments. And as we see that, the first four commandments deal with how we treat God. Commandments 5 through 10 are how we treat man. Exodus 20, "And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or in the earth beneath, or in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquities of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generations of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day, and keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, maidservant, or cattle, nor the stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and he rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, or anything that is thy neighbor's." And all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed and they stood afar off. And they said unto Moses, "Speak thou with us, and we will hear. But let not God speak with us, lest we die." Moses said unto the people, "Fear not, for God has come to prove you, that his fear may be before your faces, that you sin not." And the people stood afar off, and Moses drew near unto the thick darkness where God was. And the Lord said unto Moses, "Thus shalt thou say to the children of Israel, Ye have seen that I talked with you from heaven. Ye shall not make with me gods of silver, neither shall unto you gods of gold. An altar of earth thou shalt make unto me, and shalt sacrifice thereon thy burnt offering, and thy peace offerings, thy sheep, thine oxen. In all places where I record my name, I will come unto thee, and I will bless thee. If thou wilt make an altar of stone, thou shalt not build of hewn stone. For if thou lift thy tool upon it, thou hast polluted it. Neither shalt thou go up by steps into mine altar, that thy nakedness be not discovered thereon." That's the entirety of the 20th chapter of the book of Exodus. I do appreciate you spending some time with us, not just today, but if you've been gracious with your time and granted previous listenings, I'm so appreciative of that, and I pray that we will have more opportunities where we can sit around the radio and study God's Word together.
If you want to listen to this program anytime online, readingtheword.net, or write to me at P.O. Box 292, Woodbury, Tennessee 37190. May the good Lord bless you and may He keep you. Please continue to pray and thank you for listening.
This has been Reading the Word with Justin Reed, the minister at the Arlington Church of Christ on Faulkner Springs Road in McMinnville.